Hier kommen wir in Frame.
Welcome to Red Flag Radio. I'm Emma Norton, and this whole podcast was recorded on Gadigal land. Land that was stolen, never ceded, that always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Now, Chloe isn't with me today, sadly, because we just wanted to get this episode out as quickly as possible because we're responding to live events, namely the university occupations for Gaza that began at Columbia University in New York and have since gone global, including now an occupation at our very own Sydney University. So I spent today, the 24th of April, and last night at the Gaza camp at Sydney Uni interviewing activists about what they're doing and why. But I wanted to start off by giving a bit of context. The most obvious context is what's happening in Gaza right now and has been for the past 7 months. The situation now, after 7 months of vicious Israeli bombardment and invasion, is absolutely dire. The death and destruction in Gaza is unconscionable, and it's all worse because Israel has pursued its brutal genocide while the world's ruling classes and mainstream media have mostly cheered on the slaughter. So there have been 34,000 Palestinians killed that we know of, although thousands more are trapped beneath the rubble. 85% of Gaza's population have been displaced from their homes. Of the 34,000 killed, 14,000 of those are children. And a child is killed or wounded in Gaza every 10 minutes is estimated, which is something to think about while you're listening to this episode. What's more, Israel is using the weapon of starvation very consciously against the population of Gaza. They are blockading, as they have been for decades, but they've increased the level of blockade of Gaza so that no food is going in for the most part. And this has had a devastating effect on particularly children in the Gaza Strip. As this is being recorded, Israel is talking about very soon going into Rafah, and which is basically the last place that Israel hasn't completely flattened and destroyed and sent troops in on the ground. So that is what they're preparing for now. Over the last 7 months, anti-war activists have been watching this in horror, and growing numbers of people have turned against Israel and against its backers like the US. So the anti-war movement has been growing both in numbers and in its audacity. A great step was made by students at Columbia University when they decided to camp out on their campus about a week ago. And it's an interesting case, really, to review because it tells you a lot about the world we live in. So the protest at Columbia began because students wanted to demand that their university divest from a series of companies linked to Israel and also shut down its Tel Aviv campus, which is involved in a bunch of the kind of whitewashing of Israel's crimes against the Palestinians. And it's part of course, the boycott, divestments and sanctions campaign, which calls for people to cut all ties, including educational ones, with the apartheid state of Israel. Columbia is an Ivy League school in the US, so it's very prestigious. And its president is a woman named Minush Shafik. She's an Egyptian-born Arab-American, and she has actually led a vicious crackdown on anti-war student protesters. She immediately called in the officers of the NYPD against the Columbia encampment, and those police officers arrested over 100 students. Subsequently, Shafik has suspended dozens of students without any kind of hearing. But of course, this only enraged Palestine supporters and drew thousands of students and staff out to protest, both against the repression and for an end to the genocide. And hundreds of staff walked off the job in protest. I did just quickly want to mention some things about this woman, Minush Shafik, the president of Columbia University. She's really a good example of the kinds of people we're up against in the university sector. So she basically runs Columbia University, but before that she has had an illustrious career. She's been at some of the pivotal moments in the last couple of decades, basically fucking over ordinary people. So her first assignment after she graduated Oxford was to work for the World Bank on Eastern Europe after the fall of the Berlin Wall, which notoriously involved imposing extreme neoliberal economics on the region, selling off pretty much everything that was previously state-owned and plunging many of those countries into decades of poverty, civil war and economic crisis. So that was her start. She also worked for the International Monetary Fund, overseeing basically the fallout of the global financial crisis in 2009 and the European debt crisis as well. And that's what she was overseeing. She also oversaw the IMF's program in the Arab world, which actually sparked the Arab Spring, or in many ways, people protesting against the horrendous demands that the IMF had made on Middle Eastern countries that had, you know, helped impoverish people. She was also recently deputy governor of the Bank of England during the Brexit vote. So this is a woman who is an absolute ruling class warrior and economist who has pushed the kind of neoliberal economics onto millions of ordinary people across the world. And now, at the age of 60, she is the president of Columbia University, meting out brutal repression to students who dare to stand up against a genocide. This is a pretty common kind of story for the people that run our universities, not just in the US, but here in Australia and across the world. But back to the protests. So the protest encampments after this crackdown at Columbia spread. They spread to New York University, where students set up a camp and also suffered a crackdown in which police arrested 120 people. So the NYPD really doing some heavy lifting for Israel across New York in the last couple of weeks. New York University set up professional barricades, like they had construction workers erect barricades to prevent students from getting into the business building. And this forced them to set up a camp nearby at Washington Park. Protest camps have also started at Yale University, the University of Michigan, University of Minnesota, and UC Berkeley, which has a really incredible tradition of standing up for free speech and against racism. So that's cool to see. Now, the main narrative in the mainstream media and coming from the police and the politicians is that these protests are all anti-Semitic and they have made campus unsafe for Jewish students. And this is just the classic refrain that we've heard over the past 7 months. An easy way of trying to shut down the debate, shut down anti-war protesters, is to accuse them of anti-Semitism. And it's all part of this decades-long project of Israel to try and make Zionism synonymous with Judaism. But in order to do this, they have to ignore any of the political content of the protests, which of course is not only anti-war, it's an anti-racist protest. They also have to ignore completely the presence of many anti-Zionist Jewish organizations like Jewish Voice for Peace. And they create this kind of crazy upside down world where politicians spend all this time hysterically denouncing the so-called violence of a few tents on campus lawns. Meanwhile, in Gaza, we see, you know, the unearthing of mass graves, of disfigured bodies of murdered Palestinians in the courtyards of two separate hospitals. And yet the media, the politicians have almost nothing to say about that. The media and politicians aren't denouncing a genocide or calling for sanctions against Israel. Instead, they're denouncing anti-war protesters and calling for an even more vicious crackdown on free speech. So that's what we've seen. Actually, the far right in the US are demanding that these the presidents of universities, like Manoush Shafiq, that they actually crack down even harder and saying that, you know, they're not doing enough. So these are really incredible events, and they've provided a beacon for anti-war, pro-Palestine activists around the world. American students are showing that ordinary people need to use whatever power we have to occupy, to disrupt business as usual, and to demand that our institutions cut ties with the apartheid, genocidal state of Israel. Now, one thing that's been really nice to think about is how these occupations have taken inspiration from similar anti-war actions that took place over 50 years ago against the Vietnam War. So in 1968, a protest occupation began at Columbia University in very similar circumstances. student activists in a civil rights group called Students for a Democratic Society, or SDS, had discovered that Columbia University had a deep connection to the Institute for Defense Analyses, the IDA, which was basically a think tank that worked with the US government in developing weapons that were being used in the American invasion of Vietnam. They also found, actually, that Columbia was going to build a segregated gymnasium, which the activists cleverly referred to as Jim Crow, as in G-Y-M Crow. So SDS and black students from the Student Afro Society occupied Hamilton Hall on the university grounds, and they won, eventually, both of their demands. The gym plan was changed, and Columbia cut its ties with the IDA. And this was a real model of the kind of radical student occupations in those years against both war and racism. And Australian students also have a proud history of standing up for social justice. And some of the people that I spoke to at the Gaza camp at Sydney University were really inspired by this history. Students were instrumental to the big moratorium marches against the Vietnam War here in Australia, and they led the anti-conscription and draft dodging campaign, especially as students themselves began to be called up to join the bloodshed in Vietnam. Students protested against South African apartheid, against racism towards Aboriginal people, and against the stultifying kind of rules of student life in the 1960s and 70s. And a really common tactic was to occupy a section of the campus to put demands on the university administration. And the university administrations then, like now, were up to their necks in connections to apartheid regimes like South Africa or to the war machine that propagated the Vietnam War. So it was amazing to be at the protest camp today and yesterday. It really warms the hackles of this history student's heart to be there last night at the site where so much radical history and student protest has happened in the past, and to see students setting up their own Gaza protest camp. So I hope this act of radical protest goes down in the history books as well. So in today's episode, you'll hear interviews that I conducted with a bunch of radical students at Sydney University's very fresh Gaza occupation. And I spoke to people from Students for Palestine, which is the group that's organized this, but also people involved in the Palestine Action Group in Sydney and a range of other groups. So enjoy.
Our comrades across the world.
Okay, I'm here with Jasmine Al-Rawi, a leading member of Students for Palestine here at Sydney University, who helped set up the camp yesterday, last night. Jasmine, how is it going?
Yeah, it's going strong. There's dozens of people out here at the camp, and we've been doing banner paints, going around megaphoning across the university to get the word out about the camp. Yeah, and we have a bunch of stuff planned to draw people in to get involved with the Palestine activism.
Great. And I mean, can you explain for people who, there's a lot of content out there obviously on the internet about what's happening in Palestine, but can you explain for people for whom it's still not really clicking, like, why is this happening? Why is a state like Israel able to get away with murdering tens of thousands of people, and why do they want to do that in the first place?
Yeah, I think Israel is committing a complete genocide of the Palestinians, and have been able to get away with this because of the massive international backing for Israel. It's not just the US, but Australia as well, and dozens and dozens of other countries that have been complicit in supporting, giving political support to Israel on the basis of their own imperialist interests. So the US backs Israel because some describe it as their military base in the Middle East, as an unsinkable aircraft carrier that can push forward American interests in the Middle East. That's a very important region that contains oil, contains really important trade routes, and that's something that the US will never want to give up on. So I think it's a geopolitically strategic region for imperialist powers to support Israel and allow it to get away with genocide. And I think the US especially has a bloody history of not caring about human rights, not caring about, nation sovereignty and stuff like that. So I think this is a really you know, expected response from the US to not do anything about genocide, but massively fund it and constantly send billions of dollars to Israel to carry it out. And I think that's why we're protesting as well, is to cut those ties with Israel.
And here in Australia, like, I mean, Australia's been fully on board with kind of whatever US policy is around this. Can you explain why that is?
Yeah, well, Australia was one of the first countries that have backed the creation of Israel back, you know, in the early 20th century. And Australia massively is supportive of the US's involvement in the Middle East because it's useful for our own imperialist interests, both in the region of the Pacific, where the US can back Australia in terms of pushing forward our own interests to the Pacific Islands, but also in terms of being a part of the, you know, global hegemon in the world. And I think Australia wants to be a part of that powerful bloc that is able to set the terrain of trade and the economy, essentially, of the whole world, and get that military backing from the US as well.
Yeah. So what does that mean for us here in Australia? Like, what can we do to, you know, we're not able to just like click our fingers and end the genocide, but what can we do to put pressure on our government to stop its, cut its ties and stop its full-blown support for Israel?
Yeah, well, I think we should protest, constantly come out to protest against our own government and constantly call out those ties that we have with the Israeli state and the US. I think all those ties should be broken. Our government should end their funding and political support of Israel. And I think the actions that have been taking place every weekend in Sydney, the occupation that we're holding now, is part of that movement that will put pressure on our government, call them out constantly, and yeah, never have any illusions that they're, you know, they could be morally compelled. I think we have to force them to cut these ties through a big movement of, you know, thousands of ordinary people coming out to protest.
And what's your message to the Vice Chancellor and the university administration here?
Well, we're calling on them to cut ties with weapons companies like Thales, like Raytheon, that are complicit in the genocide happening now, have produced arms that are used by Israeli troops on Palestinians. We don't want any of those weapons companies to have any base on this campus. Research, no partnerships. We want our university to cut ties with Israeli universities as well. No one should be able to visit an apartheid state and go to a university that will teach them why it's justified. We think that's terrible, and that those ties should be cut. We want we want our university to completely cut all its ties that it has with Israel.
The way of the revolution has gained in Martin.
I'm here with Chauvin Bhattarai. Chauvin is one of the main leaders of Students for Palestine here at Sydney University. When I came last night at the start of the encampment, it was Chauvin who kind of began the whole thing with a roaring speech about, why we need to stand up for the Palestinians. So Chauvin, why have you done this?
We've done this in part. I think it's important to say we've done this because there are more than 33,000 people who've died in Gaza, 15,000 of which are children. It's one of the bloodiest conflicts in modern times, and we've seen absolute hypocrisy from Western governments like ours, who've continued to kind of cry a couple of crocodile tears here and there while they fund, diplomatically support, politically give cover to the regime that is carrying out this genocide. That's part of why we think it's so important to take a stand today.
Yeah, fantastic. And I know that you guys are really proud of the tradition that you stand in, you know, of students over the decades who have fought for social justice, the people who fought actually quite similar to what you're doing today against an apartheid regime in South Africa and demanded that their university and their governments cut ties. Can you explain a bit about that tradition?
Totally. I think it's so important to mention that students have always been part of fighting for justice. If the camera just follows me, right over there, there's actually a plaque behind our Welcome to the Encampment sign. That is a plaque commemorating the freedom rides the Freedom Rides that happened here at Sydney University, which was about radical left-wing students going out to fight for justice for Indigenous people, to fight against segregation here in New South Wales. This students like us here at the protest, I think, stand in solidarity. We stand in the tradition of that movement, in the tradition of the anti-Vietnam War moratorium marches, which happened here at this very university, where tens of thousands of students joined together to go out and protest against the Vietnam War. We stand in the tradition also of the fight against apartheid, led by students in Australia who stood up against the racist Springbok rugby South African team and our government's attempts to give support to this regime. So yeah, I think we're kind of taking the next step as part of this long movement that spans over many decades. Very exciting.
Tell me a little bit more about what's happened at Columbia University. That's been the real inspiration for what you guys are doing.
Yeah, at Columbia University, there were students just like us who decided to take a stand, to stand up for Palestine and to end their university's complicity in genocide. The Columbia University administrators sent in the NYPD to arrest 100 of them as a blatant attempt to intimidate students from taking a stand against this injustice. But in response to that attempt, over 1,000 students took their place and now have sparked a global international movement for solidarity with the Palestinians, calling out the complicity of institutions like our universities. And that is part of our movement too here in Australia. It's been awesome to see the National Students for Justice in Palestine pages in America have shared our rallies all the way here in Sydney. I think, yeah, it's awesome to be part of this movement worldwide.
Amazing. Thanks, Trevin.
Thank you.
Our comrades across the world.
Okay, I'm here with Amal at the Gaza encampment at Sydney University. She's an ex-student and she's come out to show solidarity. And she's also a fellow member of the Palestine Action Group here in Sydney. Why are you here?
I'm here obviously to stand in solidarity with the encampment. It's really important that we direct our attention to universities and their very deep complicity in the current genocide in Gaza.
Yeah. Well, on the genocide in Gaza, there's now 40,000 killed, at least, that we know of by the Israeli regime. Yeah. What would be your message to people who are watching this horror unfold? What can they do about it?
Definitely come out and mobilize and organize when you can. There are already the weekly rallies that's been happening for 6 months, and it's important that we continue to build them and make them the biggest rallies that Sydney has ever seen. But also, if you're a student or not even a student, come join these encampments at university. It's really important that we engage in direct action and ensure that Israel is completely isolated from every country on earth. So yeah.
Totally. Yeah, we're both not students. You're allowed to come to campus. It's a free country. So one last question just about the links, like between not just the universities, but the Australian government and Israel. Can you explain to people how deep those links run?
Yeah, it's very deep. So we obviously have the ideological ties, which is the consistent diplomatic diplomatic support that is given to Israel, for example, their so-called right of self-defense. But also we have active material links to the state of Israel. We've provided over $13 million worth of weapons in the past 5 years alone. We provide crucial components of the F-35 jets that are used to carpet bomb Gaza. On almost every level, there is so much material ties to Israel. And just recently, we signed a $1 billion contract with Elbit Systems, which is an Israeli weapons manufacturer, which tries and tests its weapons on the Palestinian people, which is absolutely outrageous.
Shameful. Yeah. Thanks for talking to me, Amal. All right, I'm here at the USID Gaza camp with Declan. Declan is a leading member of Students for Palestine, the group here at Sydney University that set up this camp in solidarity with Palestine and with the Columbia University protests that have now spread across the US. Declan, why did you guys want to set up a camp like this?
I think it's really important that students get involved with the movement for a free Palestine and against the genocide that is happening right now. And I think that one thing that students can bring to this is pointing out and campaigning against the ties of our universities to the genocide in Gaza, the complicity of our university, and by extension, ourselves and our staff who are being roped into helping Israel carry this out. One of the main demands that we have is for our university, University of Sydney, to cut ties with the weapons company Thales. Thales are the sixth largest weapons company in the world. They're a French weapons company, but they supply weapons to amongst many other awful states, the state of Israel. And the connection between our university and Thales is that there is a memorandum of understanding signed between the university and Thales, which means that student and staff research goes towards perfecting Thales' weapons of war and destruction. I think that is an abomination. To make students and staff complicit in a genocide and an apartheid state by virtue of carrying out sometimes very inconspicuous research, I think that is something we need to stand up against.
I've heard as well from other people in Students for Palestine that there's a connection to Elbit Systems, another international weapons company. Do you know much about that?
It's actually Raytheon at our campus, okay. along with Thales. Raytheon, I think, is one of the most famous of the evil weapons companies. And they're famous in part because their stock prices jumped by, I think, about 10% after the announcement of Israel's carrying out of the genocide in October. So amongst the ties to Thales, our university is just knee deep in militarism and war.
Great. And what are you doing to try and get people out here and to be part of the encampment?
We actually just had an all-encampment meeting where we discussed all the ideas that we're going to be trying to implement over the next day in order to get more people in. So down there is Eastern Avenue. It's the main thoroughfare here at the Sydney University. There are a bunch of market stalls. We're going to kind of cause some noise, get some disruption happening, get out there leafleting. We're going to hit every classroom, every lecture, every tutorial to do announcements. We're going crazy on social media. We've gone kind of international in that respect.
Great.
NBC have reached out to us for footage from our protests. So we're trying to get the word out. We want as many people to come down here as possible, spend a couple of hours here, even better, spend the night here, join the encampment, because if we make it bigger, we can make more of a fuss and we can bring more of attention to some of the key demands that we're placing on the university.
And can you tell me a bit more about the connection between our encampment here and Columbia University, where it all started, and why you guys have been inspired by what's happened there?
I think Columbia has been a spark which has lit a flame across the world, first in America and now here in Australia. I think so many students, student activists, people who care about Palestine, have seen what is happening in Columbia and thought, why don't we do that here? That was basically how this started. A couple of us on Sunday evening were like, why don't we do what they're doing in Colombia? Yeah. We spent Monday and Tuesday frantically messaging people, frantically getting our networks mobilized, buying tents, getting all the materials and all of that. And I think that's how solidarity works. That's how movements start and spread, is that thousands of individuals just in various different places look at something and think, why don't we do something like that? And if you know that can happen in little bits here and there, then we can build something really special.
Our comrades across the world.
I'm here with Yaz, who is an anti-Zionist Jewish activist and socialist who's been involved in campaigning for Palestine for a few years now and is here to be part of the Gaza encampment at Sydney University. Hi, Yaz. How's it been going?
Yeah, it's been excellent. I camped over last night. It was really good. We have had dozens of students come out to camp and then, you know, hundreds at the rally yesterday when we kicked off the occupation.
Yeah, you must be tired.
A bit, yeah.
Up all night talking politics. That's cool. Yeah. So I wanted to ask, because you're an anti-Zionist Jewish person yourself, and there has been just an absolute like slew of kind of slander against the Columbia University encampment and the others across the US. Like if you read the mainstream press about what's happening there, it's all about how these are anti-Semitic protests, how Jews don't feel safe on campus. There's really slanderous attacks going on. What's your answer to that?
I think the Columbia students have been really clear about their message, which is that they want an end to genocide and an end to the ties of their university to that genocide. That's the thing they've been coming out to protest for. It's kind of the oldest trick in the book in a lot of ways of the Zionists when they don't have that much of a defense for the 34,000 Palestinians they've now massacred in Gaza. And the university's don't have an excuse for their ties to Israel. The US government doesn't have an excuse either. So this is the lie they kind of resort to try and demonize student protesters.
Yeah. And has that come up here in Sydney as part of the Palestine organizing?
It definitely has. It was the line that was used to try and demonize protesters who came out on weekend protests since October to try and say, well, this is anti-Semitism in action. Actually, protesters were very clear. This is not a religious question. It's a question of occupation and apartheid and now a genocide that's actively taking place. So they've definitely tried that in Sydney. You know, Zionists have tried it at Sydney University as well, but we're standing strong.
Yeah, amazing. Well, tell me about how you're standing strong. What are your demands? Like, how are you getting students to be involved in this?
Well, we have set out to say that Sydney University should cut its ties with Israel. So it has ties to weapons companies like Thales that produce drones that are used to surveil Gaza, to companies like Raytheon, which is one of the world's biggest missile manufacturers, to the US Defense Department, who have funded Sydney University to the tune of something like $22 million over the last decade and a half. So we're saying that Sydney University should totally cut those ties, cut its ties with Israeli institutions that are totally part of legitimizing the genocide that's taking place. And then that more broadly, there shouldn't be repression of students, that the government should drop charges against Palestine protesters. Mm-hmm. And we've come out to, you know, cause a bit of a nuisance for university management and force them to come clean about all of their ties and what they're going to do about that. So we've set up an occupation. Like I was saying, you know, 30 or so people stayed over last night. We have been holding rallies. We're going to have another one today and keep doing that over the next however long we're here for. And, you know, announcing in classes, giving out leaflets, doing stalls, welcoming people in. It's been really great to have tons of people stop by from both Sydney University, but also from the kind of broader Palestine activist networks.
And have you had any response from the university yet?
We have not. Actually, the first thing they did was lock down the building behind us, which is the Quadrangle, which is one of the main buildings at Sydney University, and take down the Palestine flag that we'd put up. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, they're trying to remain silent. So we're going to keep causing disruption to them mm-hmm. until they're forced to take a stand.
And what about some of the other universities? I know you're an ex-UCID student, current UTS student, so from just down the road at the University of Technology Sydney. What about, yeah, the other ties that universities in New South Wales have to Israel?
Well, a lot of them have ties to Israeli weapons companies. So UTS just down the road also has ties with Thales. It hosts something called The Vault, which the name itself sounds evil. It's like a collaboration between the Australian Defence Department and a bunch of private weapons manufacturers. And it's extremely secretive, so we don't know totally what's going on in there because they don't want us to know effectively. Mm. So there's things like that. The like degrees in war studies that you can now do at places like UNSW, in nuclear science and so on, which obviously...
They don't have any anti-war studies.
No, definitely not. Although, kind of hypocritically, at Macquarie, you can do a degree in social justice. But then the university also it actively participates in research, archaeological research, to try and help Israel like legitimize itself as a genuine state while it, you know, commits genocide against the Palestinians. So that is the role of the universities across Sydney, and they have not indicated that they're willing to drop those without a fight.
Great. Thanks heaps, Yaz.
No worries. Thanks so much.
The way of the revolution has
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Red Flag Radio. If you enjoyed it, please like it and share it so we can get the word out. But also, if you're interested in getting involved in activism around the question of Palestine, I think it's really important that we all do. So if you're a student, especially, get involved in Students for Palestine. They have a chapter in pretty much every city in Australia, and they're organizing awesome stuff like the encampment at Sydney University, but also protests over the next few weeks. So please get involved, and until next time, we have a world to win.